Welcome to Spiked Up, episode 7. Darren and Matt got a couple big timers again. Former captain Michael Parkhurst and a current captain Brad Gazan from Atlanta United. Guys, thanks for taking time out of, I'm sure, a very busy day to come join us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, guys. It's always an honor when we get to step away from the kids for a little bit. So it's certainly our pleasure.
Seriously. Hey, Brad, you're okay to say that this was 2 hours? Just sort of.
Listen, we may have to do a few takes here, so this might be an all-day thing.
And I want to thank Mick Ultra for sponsoring the podcast today, the Spiked Up podcast. So I had beer. The good people at Mick Ultra delivered Mick Ultra to all you guys, and I can't thank them enough. Thanks for being a good sponsor, and I guess we're allowed to drink at 12:30 now when Mick Ultra sponsors Spiked Up, right?
I don't have to train today.
Listen, some of us are still trying to play here and trying to stay fit, so I appreciate it, but I'm going to go with the good old glass water.
Nice. Matt, I'm pleased to know. I mean, this is a light beer, so we keep our physique. That's the good thing about this. We can drink it, still maintain our athletic physique. I've got to say as well, Parky's backdrop. Parky looks statesman-like in your chair. And
you look like Roger Goodell.
This is the king's chair. I borrowed it from Joseph. You let me borrow it.
What time is it, Parky? I can't tell.
And hey,
Darren, talking about athletic body. Parky never had one of those, so it's not a concern of his.
Only 2.6 carbs, so you can watch my, you know, I've been watching my figure during this quarantine. As you know, Brad, I did that. But Darren, I had a funny story I was telling you yesterday about every year, you know, speaking of like, you know, watching your figure and working out and everything, and you and I are on this side of this and they're on this side of this. And me more on this side of this. But one of my favorite moments was, you know, every year when the players would start training, the technical staff would get us, the sports science guys would get us to go get a photographer to take photos of the guys when they would do their physicals. And so then it came to me and I would deliver it to them. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to see Brad Gazan's picture in his underwear. I'm going to mess with them. And I cannot tell you, when I opened it, I'm like, oh man, he's got like a 12 pack. Like he's the most fit goalkeeper you'll ever see. I was so bummed that I was like, I can't even mess with him because he's like just stacked. I was like, oh, come on, man.
Listen, if balls are going to be flying past me, at least I need to be able to look good while that's happening. So I try my best.
You just have
just
to.
Just in case you score a goal out the other end.
Absolutely. I've always said if I score, it's not just a shirt that's coming off. There's a potential streak across the field or something going to be ridiculous.
Matt, you just need to zoom in on the face and then you've got all the ammunition you need.
Parky, as they say, face for TV, yours, face for radio.
How is quarantine life? I know we all have kids and we're on day, like Darren and I joke, like day 12,970. How has it been for you guys?
Yeah, it's just Groundhog Day after Groundhog Day. It's crazy. I keep saying, like, physically, we're all good, which is awesome. Like, everybody's healthy, everybody's good. Mentally, whew, we've got our days.
For sure. Yeah, we're in the same boat. It's there's some days where the first argument doesn't start until maybe like 10:30, 11 o'clock, the first meltdown. There's other days where 7 a.m., 7:30, and we've already had one, and it's like it's going to be a very long day. But like Parky said, you know, everyone's safe, healthy. That's the main concern. But certainly, I think we're all itching back to get back to some sort of normalcy.
I got a funny story. I don't do homeschooling often. Thankfully, Sam does it most of the time, you know, luckily for the kids. But I was in charge the other day, and like I'm helping my son with his math a little bit, you know, looking it over. He's doing it and he like gets it all done. And my wife comes back a couple hours later and she looks at it and she's like, this is all wrong. Like, you need to help him. You can't just let him do it by himself. You actually need to help him. And at that point, I didn't know whether to say, shoot, I did help him and I messed it up. Or just say, okay, yeah, I thought he could do it. You know, next time I'll make sure I check it over.
Which way did you play it?
I did tell her that I looked it over and I messed it up. So I couldn't let my son take all the blame. So
I thought when you started telling that story, you were going to say you were in charge of homeschool that day and you instantly said field trip to the backyard and spend the day outside and canceled all school.
I think that's Darren's move.
Love yeah, it. I'm strictly PE. I don't even try to do the academic subject. That's not my thing. Hey, I haven't seen Parky since the challenge. We haven't had a chance to speak since you did your challenge. I've got to come with the truth that it took me. So for those who didn't see it, Parky did an impressive with his bad foot keep ups. I think he did what, 30. So I thought I'm never going to be able to do that with my left foot. So I did headers. And it took me, honestly, like 35 goes to do it, including one cut, which I've still got. I'll have to show it, where I nearly break my neck because I'm about 20 and the ball's going over towards the fence and I head it to keep it up and I just fall straight to the side of the...
That's great. I honestly thought it took you only one take. I was like, man, that's really impressive. Like,
yeah, no, I gotta be honest.
I went straight away, paid my $100. I was like, you know what? That was impressive. That was good.
It is fun during the quarantine time to do the challenges. And I lost a challenge to Darren in the draft, so I also had to donate my money to the food bank as well. So we're in the same boat, Parky.
Nice.
Are you talking? I was just thinking, when Brad's celebrating a goal, you scored a long-range one, didn't you, in the Premier League where the wind blew it?
No, that wasn't me.
No? Have you ever scored from a...
I have not. No. So I'm trying to keep fit for when that moment comes, if it ever comes.
Own goals count too, Brad.
That's true. There have been a few that have come off the post in the back of my head and next thing I know it's behind me. So
Parky's got the longest range goal still then. Out of you two from his
He does. He
majestic
does.
Majestic one.
Rolling back the years that. Jeez.
Seriously.
What year was that, Parky?
That was 2007.
How did you
impressive.
Way back.
When is the first time you guys first kind of came together and met each other? I'd be curious to know. And then kind of how it came full circle.
Probably combine or draft.
Didn't we play you guys at when you were at Wake?
Oh yeah.
I mean, obviously we didn't know each other, but think, you know, probably the combine and the draft was kind of the first time a real interaction.
Yep. It was the start of our budding relationship.
Wonderful, wonderful friendship and relationship. Exactly.
I remember being in draft day specifically because like Chivas USA had just started. And I remember thinking, like,
rest in peace.
Oh my God, please don't get drafted to Chivas. Please don't get drafted to Chivas. And Brad got drafted to Chivas and all the rest. All the rest of us were like, oof, thank goodness.
Honestly, I've had so many, like, obviously other guys that were at the draft that year. And, you know, I remember them telling me, you know, afterwards, like, yeah, you know, you're going to, supposedly Chivas is going to take you with the number two pick. And I remember sitting there and, you know, in our chairs, right? And somebody was telling me, yeah, I heard you're going to Chivas. And I'm like, going where? To who? What? And then all of a sudden I hear, you know, with the second pick, Chivas USA selects goalkeeper. And I'm like, wait, what? Where am I going? Who? What? Where
I thought he was going down to Mexico.
Exactly. I was like, I thought this was Major League Soccer. What's happening here?
Was Carlos there then, or did he go after that to Chivas?
No, he was after. I had left, and then he had come a couple years after.
Yeah, because, Brad, you started it, didn't you? And Carlos ended.
Chivas. Yeah, exactly.
He finished them.
Exactly. The final dagger in him.
Brad, we showed a clip when we were starting Atlanta United. We you know, there was a lot of people in our organization that didn't really understand soccer. So Darren and Carlos kind of did a, kind of soccer 101, right? Like teaching the, you know, here's what this is, you know, the proper technical terms and things like that. And when we got to the red card, like what a red card is, I was in charge of the video. So I found the greatest clip of Carlos just going cleats up with Chivas in his last year and just getting the most insane red card you've ever seen. We can play that over this.
And then vehemently arguing with the referee, like genuinely saying, how is that a red card? And getting really upset about it.
He's giving it the hand motions, but secretly saying, thank you for sending me off. Thank you.
I can imagine why he would do something like that, because we played, I was back in MLS at that point, and we played Chivas that year, their last year, and Carlos didn't play in the game. And I remember thinking, like, this was by far the worst professional team I've ever played against.
Really?
I mean, I clown on them, and I'm sure you had a great time there, Brad, and I'm sure there was great people that worked within the organization at some
good
point.
People, yes.
But that was a good decision from MLS to move on from that one.
No, for sure. I mean, I think from day one, the ownership group at the very beginning, they got it all wrong. And I mean, our games, you know, game in and game out turned into an absolute bloodbath, and just, you know, red cards, fights, nasty tackles, you name it, it was all there. And it was because we had started running our mouths starting at ownership level before we'd even kicked the ball. And it was the U.S.-Mexico rivalry, you know, times 10, and it just kicked off from day one.
So
how was it?
Oh, go ahead.
You guys, I was going to say, how was it then, Parky, when you're at Atlanta United now, going full circle, and then you hear the rumors that Brad, because that was a transfer deal that took forever to get done.
The happiest day of his life, Darren. He had the biggest smile on his face.
But was it?
I had only been in the club for like 2 months, and I think I submitted my transfer request. No, I mean, I was excited. I mean, it's important to have a decent amount of experience. American players, they don't have to be American, but I think in the locker room it helps to have a decent amount of American players, especially with experience, especially when you have a big Latin influence. And so, you know, to add somebody like Brad was important. And obviously we had a good relationship playing with the national team together and coming into MLS together. So, yeah, it was good.
And we figured, Brad, you would be a good fit given that you played at Chivas. We thought you could come to Atlanta United.
Exactly.
And fit in.
Spanish was just flowing, you know, it was like riding a bike. It came back to me, no problem.
It's funny you say that. If you went a little behind the scenes, and this is the, you know, the digital guy who doesn't know all that. Was it Bournemouth or Middlesbrough? I don't remember that you were playing at before you came.
Middlesbrough.
Neither of those actually, Matt. But
is it? Which one was it?
It's Middlesbrough.
Oh, of course. And hey, and that's a soccer snob in Darren. He always, I said Norwich and Leicester and
yeah. Oh no.
When I first started. But I do remember, like, we were, you know, for me, we were trying to get ready to see if we were going to announce you and, you know, make a video and graphics and everything. But we were all in Darren's office watching to see if you guys would get relegated. And then I think you guys like either drew or had a good result, and we're like, oh, it's gonna be another couple weeks before you can come over.
Yeah, I mean, eventually we went down, you know, not to bring that part back up, but eventually we went down. But yeah, it was a few weeks later, and yeah, talk about a bit of a mess kind of during that whole few months of trying to come. And
yeah, we had everything ready. We were ready to go, and then we are all watching in Darren's office, and I could tell by Darren's face that it was going to be not – the next day, it was going to be another couple of weeks.
I remember when Brad joined, though, like all of us in the locker room, we were like, man, I wonder what Tata's going to do, because we were playing good and Alec was playing really good. We're having some good results, but obviously we're bringing Brad in, you know, paying him a ton of money. So it's like, you got to play him. But
hardly the case.
We were all kind of like, man, what's Tata going to do? Like, is he going to insert Brad right away? You know, that's kind of messed up to Alec. Alec's playing so well. And then it just worked out. I mean, you know, unfortunately for Alec, he got an injury and was out for a while. But I remember thinking, like, God, Tata got off easy with this one.
Yeah.
Because we were all really interested to see, like, God, how's he going to handle this? What's he going to do here? But then Alec, you know, unfortunately got injured for him. Made it a little easier for you to just step right in.
No, for sure. Al's been fantastic since arriving at the club since day one. Obviously, as you mentioned, it's obviously, you know, you never wish injuries upon anyone. And the thing with goalkeepers is obviously we're like a team within a team, and he's been great. He's been great since day one. Like I said, we room together on the road. So yeah, we've got a good relationship.
That's great. Going back to quarantine, any, you know, I know Brad, you're working out. Parky, you're doing homeschool, which I don't do. I just let them watch Barbie on Netflix. Have you, any house projects, any new hobbies you've picked up, anything that's kind of been a good thing out of quarantine for you guys?
Go ahead. I'll take this one, Parky, first. So I wouldn't say any hobbies or anything like that. What I've realized is my wife's to-do list for me continues to get longer and longer by the day. And all of a sudden I'm building shelves, I'm staining shelves, I'm hanging them on the wall. I mean, I'm just over here basically ready at this point to start building a house. You know, I could just really do it all when it comes to construction. So I didn't know I had that in me. I'm just hoping this stuff stays on the walls and doesn't come crashing down on one of the kids. So fingers crossed. But yeah, just like I said, the to-do list is getting longer and longer by the day. So need to get back to some normalcy here.
Absolutely. I think the most impressive thing I've done is, I mean, we've all been doing house projects, right? I mean, thank goodness for Home Depot and that they've been open. But the most impressive thing I've done is we're getting a puppy, not this weekend, but next weekend. So Memorial Day weekend, we're getting a puppy. And for some reason, I decided, you know what, let's make a bed for the puppy. So we made a bed for out of a wood crate thing that they deliver at Home Depot, delivered like sand or rocks or something on for the yard. We cut that thing up and put it into that and sanded it and all that stuff. So that looks like an easy project, but for me, that's like building a house basically.
Love it, pal.
Looks that's good.
What kind of?
So, who
what
do you think, guys, from your experience, past and present, at Atlanta United, who would you say is best dealing with quarantine at the moment, personality-wise, and who do you think is probably struggling the most?
Past or present, I say Darlington's handling it the best. right? I mean, he's such a homebody. He loves being at home, so this is perfect for him.
For sure.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think of on the current team.
Who would be going stir crazy?
I think from that, who's probably going stir crazy is probably, you know, Pity. I could see him, you know, he's got a little one at home. You know, not much room to move around in, not a whole lot of space. I think, you know, being a foreigner and kind of going through everything that we're going through, not really having too many details, especially in a language where you're not fluent in. I think he's ready to get back to full on training and every day, you know, obviously getting out of the house.
Yeah, it must be really tough, especially for the foreign based players. I mean,
for sure.
Especially the new signings, the new foreign guys on the team. I mean, it must be really challenging for them. But I'd also assume that, you know, Jeff is probably in the same boat as us. He's got to be. He can't wait for the season to start back up.
For sure. There's times on our Zoom calls, you know, and whatnot, and I'll say, oh, how's things? And he doesn't even have to say anything. Just the look and the expression on his face. And it's like, you know, it's midday. And the look is just like, I'm defeated today. The day I'm throwing the towel, it's been the longest morning ever. And I'm like, yeah, I get it.
That's great. Well, I had a couple questions for you guys. So we asked about kind of when you guys first met, but I was also kind of, I mean, for me, like I said, you know, the soccer snobs will make fun that I don't say Middlesbrough right and Bournemouth and everything wrong and Norwich and Leicester and everything, but and Brad, you know, and Parky, you've seen me too at the end of the games, I'll be like, you know, I'm not the soccer expert here, but I would have done this. And I had a question, you know, something that I've been interested in, I think our supporters and fans would be interested in is, you know, the dynamic between a goalkeeper and a center back. Like, I mean, Brad, when I watch you at practice, you're screaming. And you talk about your Spanish. I don't even know, sometimes you're yelling Spanish, sometimes you're yelling English. I'd love to know the dynamic between you and Parkey as a goalkeeper and a center back. Like, how is that dynamic? And Parkey, do you can answer this after, but like, do you ever yell back or do you ever yell back at Brad? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you said speaking English, speaking Spanish, you forgot gibberish as well, because sometimes the stuff that comes out of my mouth, I don't even know what it is. And, but yeah, you know, I think the relationship that we had was obviously a very good one, you know, coming from the national team, knowing how Parkey played, knowing his strengths, his ability to read the game. And then on top of that, having little discussions in training, just about the upcoming opposition of who we're going to be playing, knowing like what their strikers or wingers would want to or try to do. And you know, myself looking at video, Parkey looking at video and talking about, hey, listen, in this situation, I know he wants to always go left and I'm going to try to force him right. And I'm going to take away kind of the far post. And so having these types of little discussions that ultimately when you'd get into a game, they just kind of happen second nature. And that part was really good. So, yeah, like I said, a lot of the times I'm yelling stuff and screaming at this guy to slide over and get into position and, you know, stop being so lazy. And most of the time he's telling me to, you know, quiet back there. So, but it was good. We obviously, we were successful together for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we obviously have a lot of banter off the field, but on the field as well. I mean, especially in trainings and stuff, but you know, when we're serious and on game day and in games and stuff, it's nice to have a good relationship. I mean, where you're trusting each other, both on the defensive side and on the offensive side of the ball, you know, where I know I can hold on to the ball for a little bit longer than maybe other goalkeepers would be comfortable with, because I know I can play it to Brad and he'll be clean with his touches and play quick and that type of stuff. Or what passes Brad wants to play and what's he want to look for and those types of things. You know, so that relationship's important. I mean, Brad's also good about, you know, he's yelling a lot, but it's constructive and it's usually kind of like, I mean, he's probably just trying to keep himself in the game so he's not bored back there sometimes. You know, but it is nice, you know, hear reminders, because sometimes, you know, you get caught, you know, especially watching guys like Joseph and Miggy in front of you, you know, they kind of like just awe you. So sometimes, you know, as a center back, I'm just sitting there watching Miggy dribble three guys. And, you know, I'm not thinking about, shoot, once the ball turns over, you know, what's the situation here? So it's nice to have Brad back there kind of, you know, making sure that doesn't happen. You know, but he also isn't a goalie that like every shot that you give up just barking at you. Like, I can't stand that as a goalie, especially when I see it on TV too, you know. And I know sometimes it's to waste time or whatever, but that just kills me. Like, obviously, as defenders, we're not trying to let the opponent shoot. Like, we know what our job is. So, and just keep the ball out of the net. Shut the heck up back there.
All right. Well, listen, if you tried a little harder to block the shot, I wouldn't be having to yell at you. So why don't you put a little bit more effort in, pal?
God.
No, it's good stuff. What's we know MLS Cup and everything, but what's kind of your memories, Parkey, for you? You can start. What's kind of the thing you think of when you kind of reflect back on your time at Atlanta United? And then Brad, I'd love to get your take too. I mean, I think for me, Parkey, when you came in, like Willis Reed that time and against Columbus, and say we didn't even win the game, but that save you made, like the goal save was unbelievable. But I'd love to get kind of your memories of, you know, your time with Atlanta United and as it relates to Brad as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's so fortunate. I mean, so many good memories in 3 years. I mean, just really lucky that I got to play with Atlanta and finish my career there, because, I mean, Brad and I can tell you how far the league has come since we entered the league in 2005. It's just night and day, and Atlanta is one of the reasons why it's gone so quickly. progressed forward, especially in the last 3-4 years. You know, so to be able to experience playing in front of 40,000 people regularly, 70,000, you know, when we want to open up the stadium, is crazy. You know, to be able to go out to an appearance and not be like, well, you know, I've got an hour and a half appearance, I might sign 5 autographs and the rest is going to be awkward sitting there. Like, nah, not here in Atlanta. Like, you're going to have to probably stay for 2 hours and sign autographs the whole time, because there's going to be that many people, you know, that type of thing. That's so awesome, especially for us older guys that haven't experienced that our whole career. You know, that part of it was just so enjoyable. It's just so awesome. I mean, the atmosphere at MLS Cup and the game before against the Red Bull at home, like, those atmospheres will stay with me forever. Those were two of the best I've ever played in. I mean, just so awesome, like goosebumps, you know, even when I watched the video of it, just crazy. You know, the things I'll miss most about the guys is the banter in the locker room, the banter in the training field. I mean, you know, different times where we would just take the piss on each other, and I did it a lot more often than some guys, you know, being later in my career and, you know, having the confidence to do that. But even in like serious situations, you know, kind of like giving a dig to Brad every now and then that only he and I can hear, you know, little things like that. I remember we're doing a drill. I can't remember if it was Tata or Frank, but I go to pass the ball back to Brad, and I can see, like, you know, he's not completely ready for it. And I lace one at him, like probably thigh high. And you can just see the eyes like, whoa, because we're like in the middle of an 11v11 scrimmage, you know, kind of like a serious one, day before a game type stuff. And I lace one at him purposely, like kind of groin high, thigh high. And you can just see the eyes like, holy smokes. And to his credit, I remember him taking it down perfectly. But afterwards, he was kind of like, Parky, what the heck? And I just kind of give him a smile like, yeah, be ready for that. I'll miss those types of things, and goofing around in the locker room and on away trips and stuff.
For sure. And just to jump on the back of that, you know, when you talk about those types of moments, that's exactly what I was thinking of. You know, I remember there was, I think you've done that numerous times. And I think as you alluded to in terms of taking the piss and, you know, being later in your career, there were times when you would obviously A, give me absolute terrible back passes. And then B, you'd be like, I'd be getting yelled at by Tata for, you know, playing the wrong pass or playing the wrong ball or something. And I keep, you know, he's on the, you know, at midfield yelling across the length of the pitch. And there you are, you know, 20 feet, and you're just absolutely in my ear so that only I can hear you. And I'm like, Parky, will you shut up, please? I'm trying to get right. And you're over here like, oh, that was a terrible decision. Why'd you play that ball, you know? And I'm like, Jesus. I'm like, I don't need you right now in my ear, you know? And yeah, I think, like you said, that's that part is, you know, the banter in the locker room, the banter obviously on the field, even in games at times, you know, just, you know, you find moments in a game, right? And it's quite difficult with the atmosphere that we have. And obviously we're very fortunate to have what we have, but you find little moments, stoppage in play, an injury, a throw in, a sub, whatever, where you have like 5 second, 7 second conversations. And it was always just something comical. And it was always just like, I'll be like, you know, Parky, you got to make sure you go with the run here. And you're like, yeah, I'm trying, but I can't feel my lungs. And I'm so tired that my legs are like 100 pounds each. So I don't know what you want me to do, you know? And so little things like that, where like, you know what I mean? It's kind of that, just that the exchange that happens so quick, and you're just like, oh geez, you know, here we go, 10 minutes, let's try to hold on. And next thing you know, Joe scores 3 more goals and we win comfortably. And
I remember my last season, I, you know, in the beginning of the season, I played a lot of left back. And as I got more comfortable, I enjoyed trying to meg guys, you know, either on the dribble or on the pass. And I got pretty good at megging guys on the pass, even in our own half of the field. And I remember Brad like yelling at me, like, stop trying to meg guys, getting so mad. And so I remember like in games sometimes like purposely trying to meg a guy with a pass or something, and like looking back at Brad, being like, oh, you see that one? You know, those little things.
For sure. I remember that as well. Good times, great times.
Hey guys, while we've got you both, I'm just interested for perhaps for the people listening on that MLS Cup. I know we've all been sort of reliving the Cup and, you know, that great night. But before then, I'm interested in the Toronto game, because, you know, as you guys will remember, end of the regular season, we could have won Supporters Shield. It just was one of those days where nothing went right. But just perhaps give us a bit of insight. Was that something in the end that you felt galvanized the squad going into the playoffs?
For sure, for sure. And I think when you look at how successful we were leading up to that point, to that game, Toronto, you know, to win the Supporter Shield, you know, everything was going well for us, and we kind of felt invincible, and it was just like, yeah, our, you know, we didn't have a care in the world, and wins were just coming naturally to us. But we knew the Toronto game would be different just because they're obviously a good team, and they had, as Parky mentioned at the very beginning, about, you know, experience and having experience in the league. Obviously, Josie, Michael, guys, obviously very good players. And so we knew it was going to be a tough game. And but at the same time, we were coming off this you know, this high of, yeah, we've got a chance, we can do it. And next thing you know, everything goes completely wrong, and we let it slip through our fingers. But I think after that game is when we sat down as a group and we had a real discussion, and we said, listen, we let that slip through our fingers, but now we have a huge opportunity. We know how good we are, but we've just been shown that if we don't apply ourselves game in and game out and have a real fight about us as a team, then we're not going to win MLS Cup. And so, you know, we're going to let two things slip through our hands. And I think that conversation, especially after the Toronto game, was a big wake-up call for all of us. And I think, especially in the playoffs, you saw us maybe to, you know, change our tune a little bit in terms of, you know, having loads of the ball and being this hugely possession-based team, to then finding a way to grind out results and fight and scrap and roll our sleeves up and get a little bit dirty. We knew our quality would shine through, especially over the course of 90 minutes, which it obviously did during that playoff run. But without the Toronto game, I don't know if we win MLS Cup.
Totally agree. Totally agree. It was away to New York late in that season, away to the Red Bulls. We got our butts candid to us. And then obviously the Toronto game. And those were two, we knew going into those games, those were two big games. We lost both of them. Neither of them were really, really close. So it was a huge wake up call for us to say, hey, we're not good enough to just go out there and play our type of soccer. We have to fight. And, you know, I was nervous going into playoffs, like, can we fight? And, you know, the first 20 minutes in New York City was like, yep, we can fight. We'll be all right.
Yeah, it's funny. It's interesting because that is the forgotten game, isn't it, that season? No one remembers. We actually win that game. We'd have had the same number of points as LAFC, you know, all-time record. But it just gets forgotten because we lost that. But you guys just did an unbelievable job there in the playoffs of just playing great playoff football, you know, making sure you didn't take chances. And for me, it's funny because we've been watching and talking about The Last Dance and the Michael Jordan documentary. And it feels like that game at home to Red Bulls was our Detroit Pistons, because they always got the number on us. And when we had that amazing atmosphere that you spoke about, Parky, and, you know, we beat them, that third goal from Tito in injury time, that was the moment the whole place went completely nuts. And he thought we'd managed to vanquish the demons that is the Red Bulls.
Definitely. What a night. Yeah, what a night. I still remember that, and that goal and that feeling kind of, because I remember thinking like, oh my God, did they just mess up? I cannot believe they just allowed us to score a third goal. Like, how, like, crazy. But yeah, that was, what a night that was. Awesome.
Well, good stuff, guys. We don't take too much. I mean, Brad, you can pretend that we do have two more hours of this, if you want to tell your family this.
I'm just going to sit here continuing to look at the computer.
Yeah. Hey, no,
before we leave,
if you want to know what I miss in quarantine, it's when I come in on a Wednesday and Brad sees me and he hadn't seen me and he's like, oh, look who showed up to work this week. I miss the banter. I miss you guys. I can't wait for us to get back to it and get to see you guys again. But thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for the memories you've created for me and. We really appreciate you guys coming on and can't thank you enough. It's been a great time and love both of you and thanks for coming on and giving us some of your time.
Our pleasure. Brad said put the check in the mail anytime you need us.
Told you, I pay you in booze, all right? Mick Ultra. Thanks again to Mick Ultra. Thanks again, Mick Ultra. I'm empty right now. I got a dead soldier here. I got to get another one.
Good talking to you guys as always. And I just want everyone to know, as everyone's watching the Jordan documentary, my retirement is nothing like his.
All right. All right. Well, thank you guys so much.
Always a pleasure, guys. Great laughs, great memories.
Brad, get training again. Get on the field.
Thanks to Mick Ultra again. And thanks for joining us for Spiked Up. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you next week.